Channel Radio.
It's 1 o'clock.
Flexible training solutions for the glass, glazing and wider construction industries. fitfortrade.co.uk for occupational compliance and peace of mind.
Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Hey, good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show here on channelradio.co.uk in association with bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and guess what? She's back. The stonkingly gorgeous Jewel Serkin is in the house.
Well, socially distancing, aren't we?
You are, yeah.
Yeah, we're across the table. First time we've actually seen each other for 150 years.
True.
Well, how many weeks is it? 16?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. And we can't hug.
Can't touch each other. We're 2 metres apart.
Can't share coffee.
We're 2 metres apart. You only have to be 1 metre apart, but we're 2 metres apart because she forgot her deodorant this morning.
Don't have to wear it in lockdown, do you?
No, that's true.
You can eat as much garlic as you like.
I know.
That's the other thing. I like onions, garlic.
I had a shower today. That was the first one for 4 months.
Did you find the soap and all that?
Yeah.
Yeah?
So how are you?
I'm very well. I'm very well. And I did my nails ready for this.
Well, obviously.
Yeah, did my toenails and everything else. Ready to come in, but it's really nice to get out.
Yeah,
I think it's very positive. And there are people looking for work. There are jobs out there. Do you know how many million jobs there are in the UK at vacancies
at the moment? None.
Oh, come on.
No, there's not many at the moment, obviously.
I've been listening to a rival radio station on my way in.
Yeah.
And I'll have to ask them, but they were saying they had a lady on and she was saying it was like a million vacancies.
No. Before the lockdown, there were 850,000 vacancies.
Right.
But at the moment, there's 9 million people not working.
I know.
And they're furloughed, so most of them aren't looking for work, but unemployment has gone from 3.8% to 10% in the 3 months we've been locked down. There's lots of people hiring,
yeah,
because there are lots of industries that are still hiring, like the healthcare industry,
yeah,
is still hiring.
Delivery drivers
and supermarkets are hiring.
Yeah.
It's just everybody else.
Hand sanitizer people, doing very well.
Yeah. I mean, like anything, it throws up opportunities, but the problem's going to come when the furlough money ends. And at that point, we'll get a feel for how many people are going to lose their jobs.
At the moment, is that, Paul, is that October, the furlough?
Yeah, well, as of July the 1st, you could go part-time furlough.
Yeah.
And that scheme, the new job retention scheme, lasts until October the 1st. And then after that, we'll see what happens after that. But I know of lots and lots of people that are furloughed and getting paid 80% of their wages, but have been told they haven't got a job to come back to.
That must be pretty scary. And I also know people that are furloughed who have also been working, earning money as well, which they're allowed to do, I believe.
In a different job, yeah.
In a different job.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know lots, but I know quite a few.
Yeah, yeah.
I've just got this chap that I don't know, but I know his wife, a colleague, and she says that he's just been made redundant, sadly. They live in Whitstable, but she said, I said, if you need any advice or help on the CV, we're happy to help on the Business Bunker. And she says I said, what is his exact job? She said it's in metal finishing.
Right.
So I said, can you please tell me what that means in layman's terms? I have no idea what a metal finishing person does.
Buffing. They do buffing.
Really? What does that mean?
They buff it up.
Polish it up?
Yeah, buff it up.
Okay. But I think there, I think manufacturing has to bounce back, Paul.
Yeah, yeah, everything's going to bounce back. Everything will bounce back eventually.
Yeah.
Although a lot of it will change. There'll be new industries. If you saw Fujitsu, a Japanese technology company, have just announced they're never going back to offices. Everyone's going to continue to work from home.
Yeah.
Twitter have also said the same. Lots and lots of businesses. We're going to talk to one of our guests later who sent all of his staff home to work, and he's saying that they're not coming back. So,
which guest is that?
That'll be Hugo.
Hugo.
Yep. So there's going to be a massive change in the way we do things, with lots of remote working, lots of home working. Mm. But of course, that throws up opportunities, because you need to improve the broadband infrastructure of the country.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, which is what Boris said the other day in his big speech about investing in infrastructure,
yeah,
in house building, hospital building, school building and stuff. That's all to create jobs.
Yeah.
So basically, if they deliver on even partially on what he claimed, then that's going to create jobs. And once you start creating jobs, that has a knock-on effect through the whole economy. So we will recover, but it's just... it won't be everyone that's existing at the moment that will recover.
You know what I love? I mean, coming through this morning, of course, the roads. I mean, I did the journey in like 20 minutes,
yeah,
practically, because
yeah,
the schools aren't back, which makes a yeah, huge difference. I am a bit angry about the schools because, as I've ranted on Twitter, at our local skate park, there are kids playing from the age of 3-4 on their little bikes and things, going up and down ramps with 20-year-olds, and you know, they could be at school, they could be learning outside, they could be learning about foraging, farm management, I don't know, wildlife, going on hikes, anything, but just sitting at home on laptops.
We've got into this really bizarre set of circumstances where it's too dangerous to go to school, so we all go to the beach instead.
Or the pub. I mean, yeah, the pubs
yeah,
are open.
Yeah, but the kids don't go to the pub, but no, kids go to the beach.
But the parents can go
yeah,
to a pub,
yeah, yeah,
but they can't go to work because
yeah,
they're too scared
yeah,
or they're
yeah,
not allowed. It is difficult, and I do feel a bit curmudgeonly because some of us have kept working through through the whole thing. Look at the refuse collectors, look at the health people, delivery drivers.
Absolutely.
And my new husband and myself have been staggering along. Okay, we've got a shorter week. We've lost a few clients, but we've gained two clients.
Yeah.
But we are now having a little day off and doing yeah, walks.
Well, we got lots of tweets and info coming in, and people are starting to tweet us some good news now, which is good. As things start to unfold and some degree of normality is beginning to return. I've had some tweets. What have we got here?
Can I just say who the guests are?
If you really want to.
I like to annoy you by doing that.
Well, no, it doesn't annoy me. It's just that...
I know that the listeners
you normally say, who are the guests? And I go, well, go on and introduce them. And then you don't know.
Oh, but I've made a huge effort today.
You've made a note, haven't you?
Yeah. So we have the lovely Lynn Roseman, who is a public speaker. And you can find her at Lynn, L-Y-N, Roseman, R-O-S-E, as in the flower, M-A-N, as in man, that I said.
Rose, A-man. There's an A in between.
Is there?
Yeah, Roseman.
Okay. So it's R-O-S-A.
R-O-S-E-A.
Okay, just to bamboozle me. Writing that down. She's a public speaker, and we look forward to hearing her later on. She's coming on about 1:15, if all goes well, and we don't waffle on too much. And then later on in the show, we've got Hugo. I love that name. And he started up, he's an entrepreneur, a young whippersnapper. We do love a whippersnapper on this show, don't we, Paul?
We do.
And he is, you can follow him on @ChargedUpWorld. More of him later, the lovely Hugo. And then around 2:30, if you stick around, make a cup of tea, we'll play a little song. And then we'll have Richard Archer on the phone, who is based in Dover. And he's at Buckland Media, of course. They're regular listeners of the Business Bunker. And you can hashtag us if you want to mention on the show @BBunker. #@BBunker.
And a huge big thank you to this week's show sponsor, who are the lovely folks from fitfortrade.co.uk. Flexible training solutions for the glass, glazing and wider construction industries. For all your training qualifications, occupational compliance and peace of mind, www.fitfortrade.co.uk.
Brilliant.
Do check them out. Thank you so much. We've had a few tweets. I've had the K&M Apprentice Graduation. That's Kent and Medway. Hello, Paul. Would love a mention on the Business Bunker Show. We are seeing a lot of registrations for the virtual graduation ceremony for apprentices being live streamed on the 2nd of October this year. Employers and apprentices can find out all about it and reserve their place by going to K&M map. Hold on, I've got to read that in. Right, it's K and A N D map, M A double P G R A D. So K and M app. grad.org. It's funny when there's no punctuation in a web link, it's how you read it, because you could read that loads of different ways.
Well, do you have.
Yeah, it's K and M appgrad.org is what it's meant to say. So do check that out. I've also had a tweet from the lovely Annabelle at Southeast Timber and Dam. She said, afternoon, Mr. Andrews. Have a fabaroony show. Thank you so much. And also the lovely folks at Michael Park Surveyors. Good afternoon to all of you on the Business Punker. Have a super day and a super show. Thank you very much. That's the lovely folks at Michael Park Surveyors over there in Medway.
Well, I think the housing market, they're going to be busy now. It's going off again, isn't it? So
is it?
Our friend Bat.
Well, they're commercial rather than domestic.
But what was Boris saying about that? It's saying that you can now, they're going to relax rules on buying commercial property.
Yep.
I pricked my ears up.
Yeah. Planning regulations are due to change and stuff. So
if you have a commercial, say it's a cafe, you can change its use quite easily. That's what he's saying, isn't he?
He's saying that's easy. What should happen.
Yeah.
Whether it does or not is a different matter of... opinion, isn't it, really?
And Fruitworks is open now?
Yep.
Good.
They're doing tours, anyway, ready for occupation in September.
Yeah, I saw it's been fogged already by the lovely Spinnerjet FM.
Yep. I had a tweet from Chips and Dinks. It's Tuesday, and that means it's the Business Bunker Show, supporting Kent businesses with relevant information and free shout-outs for your trade. We often have a catch-up, but it's always worth waiting for. If you haven't listened before, then it's worth checking out. Jules and Paul. Well, thank you for that. It's a complete advert in a tweet.
Yeah.
Lovely. Thank you. And that's the lovely folks at Chips and Dinks.
I still need to get them in, you know, because I've got a Corian worktop that's my new husband chipped.
Don't want to do that.
Yeah. And then also
Tony will fix it, though.
Also a stone bath that we dropped the shower head on it, and it's not.
Oh, really, you don't want to do that either.
I know.
Right, go on in. What else you got?
Oh, I was just tweeting, sorry. Okay, this is interesting. It's a webinar coming up, listener, and it's How to Work from Home and Keep Selling Live. Frank Furness, international sales and marketing expert, is in the top 0.5% of salespeople worldwide. And he says, learn how you can sell effectively, stay in contact with clients and find new ones. Now, this is on Wednesday, the 29th of July. It's between 11 and 12:30. And you can book by going to www.bitesizeonline.co.uk. That's Wednesday, the 29th of July, 11 to 12:30. And it's with the Frank Furness. He is going to tell you how to sell effectively. Well done.
Cool. Good stuff. Do you want to read one more of those?
I can. I've got a really long one. So bear with me because I haven't got my glasses, listener. This is the Kent Community Foundation Coronavirus Emergency Fund. And it's awarded loads and loads of money to 314 charities and community groups supporting vulnerable adults, children, young people, families and the elderly across Kent and Medway. And Josephine McCartney, she's the chief executive of the Kent Community Foundation, has said that we're delighted that the Kent Community Foundation has been able to respond quickly to charities that are struggling financially during the pandemic. And they've awarded just over 1 million to over 300 charities and community groups who are doing vital work across Kent and Medway. Also, 420,000 of this has been awarded to projects working with vulnerable adults. 380,000 has gone to working with young children and young people and families, and 232,000 has gone to helping the elderly and isolated, of which there are so many, as we know. You can make applications for emergency funding. I'm going to read out the website for you so you can look at more of this. If you know of anyone that might need this, you can go to 3Ws, KentCF, that's F for Freddie, .org.uk with a little /funding/ coronavirus emergency fund. Worth having a look at that if you do know of anyone that needs help. And they said that there's an emergency fund allocation which has been split to three main areas. So there are lots and lots of projects going on with the vulnerable adults, young people, families. So have a look at that. There's also one for domestic violence and education and training. So lots going on there. Have a look at kentcf.org.uk/funding/coronavirus emergency fund.
Fantastic. Should we have some cheesy tunage?
Yeah, let's.
I've got a bit of OMD.
Oh, have you?
Yeah.
You can do something about that. You have a little elastic band on your wrist.
Or something like that.
And you twing it.
Orchestral Manoeuvres in the Dark. Good. Talking Loud and Clear.
Yeah, good song. Glad I... oboe, Paul Andrews.
That was quite good, wasn't it?
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
And Jules Serkin.
And Jules Serkin. I couldn't afford the longer ad, so it's just got me in it.
I know, you have to pay for those voiceovers.
Oh, no. Listen. No,
I would like to play the oboe, though.
Would you?
Yeah, right now.
Well, you go off and play the oboe while I talk to our guests.
I'm not even sure it was an oboe.
No, I don't think it was.
Who's on the blower?
Anyway, we're joined now, hopefully, by Lynn Rosamond. Hello, Lynn.
Hello. Oh, hi, Paul. Hi, Jules.
Hi. She's a public speaker, you know.
She is. She's a really good one.
We need to watch our P's and Q's.
You know what? Now you're talking.
I know.
Yeah. Now you're talking.
I like what you did there.
Lynn, thank you so much for joining us. It's an absolute pleasure to have you on the show on this Tuesday afternoon. Why don't you kick off by telling the listener a little bit about Lynn and then a bit about your business, and then we'll go from there.
Okay. Well, I am, by training, a market researcher. So I spent over 30 years in market research, which took me all over the world. Great job, travelling all sorts of places, living and working with lots of very interesting people. It's fantastic. And as part of that, I obviously did a lot of speaking, pitching for jobs, presenting results, networking, that scary thing. I did quite a lot of conference speaking, and I always felt that something was missing. You know, at the end when you're standing there and people clap politely and they sort of head off quite quickly to the coffee, and you've got other people who've got standing around, big queues of people waiting to talk to them, and I just thought, what am I missing? What am I doing wrong? And then one day I had a new job, and we were still writing the presentation as we dashed out the door and drove to the meeting, and I can't do that. I do, like, at least the night before to get my head around everything.
Well, I wish Paul and I did that.
Yeah, you're very brave. I'm not happy in that space. And it went wrong, and everyone was unhappy. I was unhappy, the client's unhappy, my boss was furious. And in the car afterwards, screaming at me, you know, go to effing Toastmasters.
Right.
And I'm sort of, what is Toastmasters? I had no idea. I was thinking red coats and glasses of wine and couldn't quite make the connection. But I hunted it down, and I did actually join and had a wonderful time. And I worked my way through the education program and became a distinguished Toastmaster.
Wow.
And one of the things involved in that is that you start to give back by mentoring other people who've got less experience than you at that point.
Yep.
And that was the part that I just really, really loved, much more than the speaking, in fact. But mentoring people, seeing them really grow and come to life and effectively transforming lives as they got their heads around how to speak. And so in the end, after a lot of erring and umming and should I, shouldn't I, and so on, I set up my own business, Now You're Talking, in 2018.
Wow, okay.
It's
interesting, isn't it? Like you, I've done a lot of public speaking internationally, and I sat through so many appalling afternoons in seminars and conferences listening to some very dull and unimaginative, unaccustomed as I am to speaking in public talks.
But actually, Lynn, conferences are hard work, aren't they? They're you're all in a couple of rooms, it's very hot, you've got aircon, you've got to meet the people that you target and want to meet. They are actually hard work.
Yeah.
I think they're particularly hard and particularly scary as well, because, you know, perhaps the most important thing that we need to do as speakers is to really know our audiences, prepare what we want to say for our audiences. It's not about us. It's not about, oh, my God, this is so terribly scary. What am I doing here? It's about giving something of value to our audiences. And the hardest thing about a conference audience is, who are they?
Yeah.
So you're really plunging into the unknown. So all those, so on, really are your opportunity to make sure you're pitching into the right space when you do stand up to talk.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it needs to be embraced as a fantastic opportunity, really.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. It is about knowing your audience and knowing what you can and can't say as well. I'm a great one for telling near the knuckle jokes, and you have to be very careful about that in a corporate setting.
Well, the way we spoke 10 years ago is very different from the way
absolutely,
we speak
yeah,
now.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
In fact, one of the really exciting things that I'm just getting involved in, actually, talking about sensitivity of language and what people can say and not say and so on these days, is there's a new initiative starting up in the market research industry called Colour of Research.
Cool what? Sorry, say again.
Colour.
Yep.
Of Research.
Okay.
And that's CORE, C-O-R, and then a little E.
Right.
And they are there to champion racial diversity throughout the research industry.
Right. Okay.
And so I'm hoping very much to be involved in that give them some public speaking support so that they can really make a difference with getting their voices out there loud and clear.
Absolutely.
So that's a very exciting thing that's just starting, which I'm loving.
Absolutely. It's an interesting thing, isn't it, how so many people are still so nervous about speaking in public, when in fact it's one of the most needed skills for anybody in business. And that's whether you own your own business or whether you're a leader or a manager in a business. If you can't do a presentation, if you can't speak in public, then you really are working at a great disadvantage. You know, because I mean, here locally, we have a load of networking groups which are attended by small and medium-sized businesses. And, of course, even that requires you to do a pitch. You know, you normally get 2 or 3 minutes to describe yourself, describe your business. And so many people get so nervous about it. And as soon as you get nervous, of course, the whole thing falls apart and you forget. Your brain just fades out, doesn't it? And you don't know what to do. It's interesting, though, because one of the things that interested me that you said was about preparation, and so many people don't prepare properly for what they're going to do. It's just, I'm just one of those weird people. For 18 years, I worked on the international speaking circuit, and I actually prepared a talk once. And it was the worst talk I've ever given in my life. I just feel more comfortable doing things impromptuously. Is that a word?
I'm a little bit like that. I'm a Gemini, and I'm much...
She's two-faced, is what she's saying.
Much better on the spur of the moment. And I think we all work in different ways.
Yeah, we do, yeah.
Lynn, what is your top tip, apart from prep? What is your top tip for
public speaking? Well, I do think it's important to prepare. Even, I mean, what I don't think you should do is polish to the point of, you know, TEDx perfection. Because it can sometimes feel really fake.
Yeah.
But I do think that you should be very clear about what is your message, what do you want to share with your audience, what do you want them to take away, and how can you present that clearly, not in a Boris Johnson style, clearly and in a way that's memorable.
Yeah.
And I think that that's so crucial. And then to just remember, it's not about you, it's about your audience.
Mm.
And these, for me, the three top things are confidence, connection and change. They really are the absolute essence of public speaking.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right. I mean, preparedness is something that happens on lots of different levels, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, basically, if you're talking on a subject in which you are... for want of a better word, expert, or at least highly knowledgeable, then that is preparation, isn't it? Because you're talking about something you know. It's where
we're also working out what you want to include, because when we talk about something we know, we so often tip out the entire content of our knowledge, which is too much for an audience. When we're sitting in an audience, we just want it simple. You know, 3 points is probably more than enough. We won't stay with a speaker for very long, so chunks broken down into 5-minute pieces or less, they work well, all stitched together with a nice roadmap. So it's just always thinking about your audience. What can they cope with? What can they take in? How much can you reasonably share in a way that they will get something out of it?
Yeah, is it basically what's the benefit to your audience of doing what you're telling them? Yeah, no, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Couldn't agree with you more. It's a really important thing. I just want to also touch on one other of my particular bete noirs when I'm in the audience of these things, which is people that do presentations using PowerPoint and spend the entire presentation pointing at the slides.
And often it sort of fails in the middle, doesn't it?
Yeah. There's always a technical glitch.
But it's scrabbling about.
Never work with children, technology, or animals. That's my motto.
Yeah.
But by all means, and in quite a lot of cases, you have to do a presentation using something like PowerPoint because you've got technical slides or whatever that you want to show people. But as a, you know, the technique of doing a presentation with slides is actually quite in depth because so many people just read the slides to you, and that just drives me nuts.
Sit there and read them yourself.
You don't need them. Yeah.
I think the thing that we have to remember is that people tend not to multitask when you stick a slide in front of them. So they will all invariably read before they listen.
Yeah.
So if you're speaking while they're reading, they're not hearing a single word you're saying.
Yeah.
So my message with slides is always, if you can have none, perfect. if you need to have some so that people can photograph them for notes, or or they really are adding clarity that you can't do as quickly and efficiently, which is where the, you know, the idea of a picture paints 1,000 words and everything, it then slides by all means, but few. And write your content first. What is it I want to say? What is my message? What is it I want the audience to take away? And then have a look at, are there 3 or 4 slides that are going to really help support that? Other way around, you end up with a deck of 60 slides that you're trying to rush through in 30 minutes, and it's horrible for everyone.
And what's your tip, Lynn, for looking at the audience? You know, this thing that people often say is, you know, pick a face in the audience and look at that. Or do you look around? How is your eye contact when you're up on stage?
I'm big on eye contact. So what I like to do is start with somebody who I think is probably a friendly face.
Yeah.
Or somebody I know.
Yeah.
Give them maybe a couple of sentences while you calm down, so they're going to get the longest eye contact of anyone.
Yeah.
And then work the room in perhaps a sort of Z shape.
Yes.
And just keep following that path round and round the room, so that everyone has the feeling that you're giving them your personal one-to-one undivided attention. If you're in a really big room and you can't see the people at the back, you know roughly where they are, so still give them that time and attention. So it's a bit like when you go to the theatre and you're sitting somewhere near the back of the audience and you say, oh my goodness, they looked me right in the eye. They can't see you.
When you're in the cheap
seats. But
they
make, again, that impression, and it makes you feel special.
Yeah, okay. And how are you coping during COVID times with your public speaking? What are you doing to adapt?
Well, I've been doing most things online, so I've been running some masterclasses online and doing some training things through Zoom and that sort of thing. Mostly through Zoom, so sometimes one-to-one coaching, other times something where I can't see the audience and it's sort of live on a website for days, months to come. Basically I've gone online, really.
But it's interesting, though, isn't it, Lynn? And I know you've written a blog about this, because I've got a copy of it on the radio website. All these webinars and interactive meetings with Zoom and Slack and all the other products do require you to speak in public still. It is a presentation, albeit on a screen. So it's more like doing a TV show. So again, you know, it just shows you how important feeling comfortable speaking in public is going to be going forward as well, as more and more people do continue, and it will continue even after we're through this COVID pandemic. I think more and more people will be doing more and more online Zoom meetings, because it's just something we got used to. I mean, it's crazy now. I get phone calls from people that want to use Zoom to phone me, and they go, I don't want to see you while I'm talking to you. And they say,
but you know, it works very well. You know, when you have a guest on the phone, you can't see them, and you know often on radio you're cut across because there's no body language. So Zoom is really good for that. That's how we kept going, and I love a Zoom, because you only have to dress from the waist upwards.
But it can also be, I mean, you know, we're starting to hear these expressions like Zoom fatigue and Teams tedium and everything, and I think it's because people have just lurched online and think that they can carry on as usual, and it's probably even harder than speaking in the room, because you've really got to get that engagement and that energy up there and make sure that it's so highly relevant to the people who are there, that you only invite the right people, not just everyone, and still do all the other things that you would need to do if you were in the room. So and one of the things that's very underutilized, I think, in the technology is this sort of breakout rooms type idea, because that's a fantastic way to get people interacting with each other and to, you know, bring some energy back to the piece, and also some new ideas. So it's not just a one-way process. It's a much more two-way
I just did a conference recently, and they hadn't quite got the technology right. It looked very, very slick. And then when I went into the meeting rooms, they'd sent the wrong links. So it was only me on my own in a meeting room. It's a case of getting the technology right.
I think it was the right link.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
We've worked together a long time, Lynn. He hates me.
I'm getting that. I realise.
Can I... I didn't bone up too much on you, and I'm now linked in with you, so I will be boning up. Have you written the book of Now You're Talking? Am I right?
Yes. I've written a book called Now You're Talking, Take Your Speeches, Talks and Presentations to a Wider Audience and a Bigger Stage. And basically that will work for everyone, from your novice speaker all the way through to people who are probably quite experienced at presenting in their day job.
Yeah.
But then when you say, you know, you've got some really great ideas, why don't you take them to a bigger stage?
Yeah.
Take them to sort of a TEDx or something like that. And they go, oh no, God, this is a terrible idea. Mm. And suddenly it all goes wrong again. So helping people to transition into that space as well, so that we don't have ideas just getting buried in people's offices or their firefighters or whatever the modern equivalent is.
Brilliant.
So
Where can we buy your book, Lynn?
So the book's available on Amazon.
Right.
If you put my name in, that's probably the safest thing. So
yeah.
That dreadful spelling. But it is LYNRO, S for sugar, EAMAN.
Brilliant.
Can I just ask, because I was a bit terrified about this, I pronounced it with the A in it, Rosamund, is that correct?
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah,
perfect.
Okay, all right.
It's a very unusual name, Rosamund.
Oh, it's annoying, isn't it? I should have changed it years ago.
No, it's a lovely name.
We wouldn't have the problems.
It's a lovely name. I wonder where it originates from. Paul and
I don't know.
We'll probably say it's Anglo-Saxon, I think, won't we, Paul?
Could be.
It could be.
I have no idea.
Yeah.
I haven't really traced back my family tree to go far enough back to find anything that would give the game away, so I really don't know.
So you can buy the book on Amazon, which is fantastic.
And then one of the things I've just been doing during lockdown is very mindful that lots of people want coaching, but they're also, you know, time's an issue, money's an issue, is developing what I'm calling digital surgeries. And these are very short one-to-one training solutions to specific problems. So it might be on confidence, storytelling, industry panels, networking, speech ready to go, conference ready sort of thing. So that in a couple of hours, people can really get their heads around what has to be done to drive something forward in all of those areas. So that's my latest piece of excitement.
That's fantastic. No, that's really good.
And where are you based, Lynn?
I'm in London.
Whereabouts?
Broccoli, SE4.
I know it very well, yeah, lovely area.
Yeah,
very nice. Couple of stops from London Bridge.
Yeah. I used to work in Lewisham for many years.
Ah, right, just up the road.
And I used to live in Clapham for many years.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I used to drive through Clapham quite a lot because my mum was down in Surrey.
Right.
I think it's changed a bit since my day. When I first moved to Clapham Junction, I was 21, and in those days, are you allowed to say black cab? I don't know, but the black cab drivers would not take you over the river.
She says black cab, Lynn. It actually had a horse at the front.
That's how old I am. And in those days, the only way you could get south of the river from a club at 3 a.m. in the morning,
horse and cart,
was by saying, you know, drive to Knightsbridge. Oh, could you just go a bit further to King's Road, please? Oh, do you mind just going over that bridge? And then they'd start swearing at you. and it was the ghetto in the Clapham Junction in those days.
Well, the same is true of Hackney, isn't it? I remember when I used to go and do work in Hackney, and the cabs wouldn't let you go until they'd seen that you were safely indoors. And then they would, lights off, doors locked, and drive away. And now it's one of the most desirable areas of London.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. Cool. Lynn, it's been fabulous talking to you. Thank you so much for joining us. If people want to find out more about Now You're Talking, about you, your book, your digital courses, all the things you do, what's the best way of doing that?
So if you go to my website, which is www.nowyouretalking, and that's spelt NOWYOURE, talking.co.uk.
Right. Yeah, and if you want to look at the book, you can do a little forward slash there, I think, as well, and find the book.
So there's a page that's just books. So there's the actual book, and there's also an ebook about how to shine online. And the ebook is a free download. And there's links to both, so you can just hit the link straight to Amazon or straight to the download.
Brilliant.
Fantastic. That's brilliant. And we've put a link to your website on the radio website, and that will stay there in the show archive forever. So if people didn't get to write it down, they can find it on bizradio.co.uk.
And you'll find Lynn on LinkedIn, as I said earlier, as well.
And on Twitter, obviously, under Lynn Roseman. Lynn, thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker Show. It's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you. Have a fantastic afternoon, and we'll talk to you again sometime soon.
Hopefully next in the studio.
Yeah.
Oh, wouldn't that be lovely?
In person.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. That would be great. I've really enjoyed it. Thanks very much, both of you.
We'll okay, you stay soon. Safe. Bye-bye now.
Take care, and you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.
That's Lynn Roseman there of
Now You're Talking.
Now You're Talking, yeah.
It's really important, you know, what she was saying, it's really important speaking in public, and now more than ever, having some just basic skills and confidence. It's confidence as much as anything. You know, people get so nervous about doing it.
Yeah, exactly.
But, you know, one of the first things that I learned when I started speaking in public is that normally the audience is more scared than you are because they don't know what you're going to do.
A lot of the conferences I go to abroad, I'm always watching, and there's so many businessmen generally who have probably travelled and they're exhausted and they've got jet lag and they nod off in the back.
Yeah.
And I always think for a speaker that must be awful, you know, to see rows and rows of people. Or the ones that are just sitting on their mobile phones, not actually looking.
Mm.
But they're, you know, tweeting people or texting or you know, finishing an email. That must be really hard for a speaker, I think, to see people's heads down.
Well, it all depends what kind of speaker you are, doesn't it, really? I mean, if you're just a general business person that's nervously giving a presentation, it is atrocious if you've lost the audience.
Yeah.
But that's what you've done. You've lost the audience. Yeah. You know, they're doing something else.
I think if you're speaking, it's best not to focus on those heads down people looking at their mobile phones or the ones that are having
them.
A quick nap.
Yeah, exactly. Ignore them.
I had a link, and I haven't had a chance. Lynn will tell me off, I know, but Lynn Roseman. I haven't had a chance to look at it properly, but I had a thing from kent.gov.uk, and they say Kent businesses can apply to trial an electric vehicle. Have you had
that? All right,
that?
No, I haven't seen that.
So I'm going to send you the link, Paul, and you can have a look. But it says that what I've just said, you can apply for 2 months, you can trial it to see how good it would be to switch to an electric vehicle. So I'm going to check that out and see if I can. Mm. Kent County Council, they say, have secured £1.5 million in funding from Highways England to provide 50 electric vans and 12 new electric vehicles, charging points for the two-year scheme. So I'll read more about it and I'll send more, but that sounds very interesting. Mm. I'd love to trial one, actually.
Mm.
Wouldn't you?
Yeah, sounds good. I nearly bought one.
I know, you had one on order.
Mm. Well, I didn't quite get that far, but yeah. We've had a tweet from the lovely folks at Athelbrey, and they say, hello, Business Bunker, a shout-out, please. Tidings of great joy. We're delighted to report that some businesses are able to restart their bookings for face-to-face training with large meeting rooms, reduced numbers and following COVID-19 guidelines. Trainers are back in the training room.
Hooray. Hooray.
That's really good news, guys, and I'm really pleased for you. You've worked so hard during the lockdown to keep things going under what is incredibly difficult circumstances. So hopefully some normality is starting to return to things. Have you got a tweet you can read while I go through some more of these?
I have. I was actually going to read an email, but I'll...
Well, I'll tell you what, I'll read a tweet and you read an email.
Right.
We've just got a hello from Hammond's Accountants that say, hello, Business Bunker Show, have a great show. Thank you very much, folks.
Well, you know who's listening in Pennsylvania, don't you?
In Pennsylvania?
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say Transylvania, in which case I knew entirely who it was in Transylvania. No, in Pennsylvania, it'll be Nurse Liz.
It is. She's up. She's ready. Good morning to you, Nurse.
Hi, Liz. Hope you're well.
But she's having a coffee. There's a Innovate UK. It's part of UK Research and Innovation, Paul Andrews, and it's investing up to £55 million to fund single and collaborative research and development projects as part of the Sustainable Innovation Fund. And the aim of this competition is to help all sectors of the UK rebuild after the effects of the dreaded COVID-19. as we call it, the vicious virus on this show. All projects must be led by a business and include at least one SME. Proposals can either be from a single business or a collaboration. And this competition is round one of a potential three. So round one, temporary framework for this competition. Round two, de minimis, opening July 2020. And round three, temporary framework, opening September 2020. And this competition closes at 11 a.m. UK time on the deadline stated. Your project's total eligible cost must be between $100,000 to $500,000, and each organisation working alone or in collaboration can claim a max of $175,000. I hear you cry, how do we apply for this? And you go to 3Ws.applyforinnovationfunding.service.gov.uk. As often on these little links with the Gov, there's lots of hyphens there. So it's apply-for-innovation-funding.service.gov.uk/competition. Go for it. Sounds good.
Fantastic, thank you. I've had a tweet from the lovely Vicky at Pink Spaghetti PA Services, Thanet and Canterbury.
Yeah, we all need that.
Her Twitter handle is pinkspag_Vicky, spelt V-I-K-K-I-E. And she says, Vanilla Web, Jules Hurkin, hello, happy Tuesday. It was my birthday last Friday. Well, happy birthday for last Friday, yeah. Vicky. I hope you had a wonderful day. So today I'm officially a middle-aged listener. And looking forward to the rest of a great show.
Still a lot younger than us.
Yeah, I would love to be middle-aged now.
I would. It would just be lovely.
I'm about to pick up my bus pass. happy birthday for last Friday,
yeah,
Vicky.
Yeah, I wonder what she did.
Yeah.
I always like to know what people do in these times.
On their birthday.
Times. Yeah.
Well, we all know what you do on your birthday, times. The same as every other day,
yeah.
Get drunk.
Yeah, a little haunch of venison, of course.
Yeah.
The Amanda Flanders has perked up.
Blimey.
She must have, you know, come off her horse and sashayed out the stable. She says, yay, Vanilla Webb and Jules Hurkin, back together for today's bunker. It's going to be fabulous. Premonition. Telcare, have you read them?
No.
They say, here we go, Bee Bunker time. She's using the Bee, they are using the Bee Bunker hashtag. Time with Vanilla Web and Jules Hurkin. And info and discussion for Kent business. And she, you know, just a reminder, use the Bee Bunker hashtag and we will hear you.
I had a tweet from Carl, who's now Carl Moggy.
Yeah.
And they say, Carl says, Vanilla Web, Jules Hurkin, can you give a shout out to the merger between We Are JK Online and Clockwork Moggy? We're super excited to see what comes out of our new full service agency. Well, absolutely. And Carl and Joe have joined forces with Clockwork Moggy. And I wish you much success. I think it's a really great idea what you've done. They're based over there in Dragon Co-working. Fantastic stuff. Big
well
shout
done,
out.
Guys.
We for do, Clockwork we do. Moggy, Carl, Joe,
yep.
And the whole crew.
We love a merger. Mm. The Fruit Works, based in Canterbury, have said, please may we have a shout out, Jules Hurkin, mentioned you. We're happy to announce we are accepting tours again from Monday the 13th of July. So that's next Monday, isn't it? Lost track.
Yeah, something like that.
With new memberships starting in September. If you want or need to work somewhere different, secure your place now. Go to fruitworks.co. All the desks have been changed, and I believe there's little spaces that you can have your own office-y type area.
Yeah, each of the desks are partitioned off with plastic, so you don't have to share with anyone else.
And
or...
it's like a theatre, you're looking forwards.
Yeah, all facing the same way with a one-way system on the floor for walking around.
Good idea.
And, yeah.
I went to a farm shop yesterday. It's my first time I've been into a shop for 14 weeks with my little mask and everything on, and it was a one-way system.
You robbed
system.
It, did you?
Yeah, it was like the Lone Ranger, and it was a one-way system.
Kimosabi.
And I bought some stuff for my mum, so I said, look, I'm just going to load this in my car and I'll come back because I had rather a lot of stuff, and then I went the wrong way around the one-way system.
Uh-oh.
You know, but there's nobody else in the shop, so it's fine. But
you didn't get caught in supermarkets, did you, when you do that? I did a shopping in the supermarket with a one-way system.
You know that.
Well, I did. I go around the one-way system in Tesco's. I get to the third aisle and then realise something I wanted is back on the first aisle. And you try and turn back, and they descend on you and kick your head in. Yeah. Yeah? About 20 people all jump on you and give you a good kick in and go, you can't go backwards.
You know what you need?
Yeah.
You need a little bleeper like those lorries.
Well, the brilliant thing was, I said, well, where am I supposed to get it then? She said, ask a member of staff and we'll go and get it.
Really?
Yeah, so I thought, okay, so I stood there and I got my list out and I went, I want one of these ones. And they went, we're not getting all of your shopping. Yeah, just
could,
the things you've forgotten.
You just have a little deck chair outside.
Exactly. Yeah. Go around and get my shopping for me.
What you need is a walkie-talkie, and then you could sort of log into their walkie-talkies, couldn't you?
Yeah, 10-4, big Tesco.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But no, I don't go to supermarkets if I can help it. And the local shops, as I've said tirelessly on this show, have just been amazing. So this was a Wingham Farm Shop. Got everything from there. Very nice. And unsprayed vegetables.
And what?
Unsprayed.
Unsprayed.
Unsprayed. Because you know
you're... Dirty, you mean?
Yeah.
Covered in mud.
Yeah. But your average lettuce, Paul Andrews, has been sprayed 13 times, not just by a cat, by chemicals.
Well, it's been chlorine washed if it comes from Europe.
Yeah. Try and buy local.
Best Business Events, Secrets of Photographic Editing Live. It's a webinar. Make your images, photos look professional using affordable software. Raise the image of your business. Arwin Bailey, who's a highly sought-after photographer, works with Xbox, Microsoft and Sony, and she's leading this webinar on Thursday the 16th of July, 11 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. You can book by going to bitesizeonline.co.uk.
The lovely Tracy Ferguson is listening, and she says, I caught about 10 minutes of the interview, she says, with Lynn, but it sounded so interesting, I'll go back and listen to it all on replay. And you can find Tracy on at Tazi, T-A-Z-I-64. And she is, of course, the owner of Plucky's World. She starts conversations and she supports self-awareness. She's a tutor and a trainer and a personal development coach and mentor. Also a Prince's Trust member. She's everything.
Cool.
And a lifelong learner.
And she's lovely.
And she's gorgeous.
And I worked with Tracy on some projects that we were doing last year, and she was absolutely brilliant, absolutely brilliant. We had a load planned for this year, but of course they've all been cancelled because of this horrid COVID. But hopefully...
The vicious virus.
Yeah, hopefully once we're again out of it, then we'll go back to doing them. But
well, Breath of Photographs, the lovely Pete, who you'll often see with a scoff and quaff lolly, chocolate lolly, he's listening in and he says, what we need is an aisle and a product map for supermarkets. Why don't they offer that?
Yeah, you're right, Pete. The trouble is with supermarkets is they move stuff all the time, don't they?
They do, because
they do it deliberately.
To taunt you, don't they?
Yeah.
You go in as a waft of bread, isn't there?
Exactly.
You know, and then you're starving and all you can think about is bread.
But they deliberately move their shelves around so that you don't get used to just picking what you want, so you get to browse everything.
Yeah, and you get those...
I know where everything was in my local supermarket until it wasn't there anymore.
Yeah, they change it. But what Pete's saying is a good idea. It's like a bit like a Google Maps thing that I used to do for my restaurant clients.
They could make it digital, couldn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You could buy online.
Yeah, that would be really good if they could do that.
You could just sit at home
and deliver it in a truck or something.
Yeah.
Wow, actually, I never thought of that.
There was envy in my road the other day. Somebody got an Ocado delivery.
Uh-oh.
Oh, you know, because we've had a few Iceland and we all sort of look down our nose at the neighbours when they get Iceland. But there was an Ocado delivery. We're all craning to see where it's going.
Good job there's not a Lidl one, isn't it?
Jenna, thanks for that, Pete.
Jenna Group, Team Jenna, are once again delighted to support the Shepway Annual Golf Day, which we're pleased can safely proceed on Friday the 11th of September at the fantastic Broome Park Golf Club outside Canterbury. To book a team or support the event, email communications@jenna-group.co.uk. So that's a charity golf match with socially distant, it would be if I was playing, I'd be all on my own in the woods somewhere. Or follow them on the Twitter, Jenna Group, all one word, on Twitter, and check out their charity golf match on Friday the 11th of September.
I'm just seeing, I'm just answering the old Diamond Circle Weddings, who say, oh, no more Zoom calls with dual circuit. So sad. Lockdown must be over. So that's made me feel very upset, because maybe they don't like me in the studio as much as they prefer me on Zoom, do you think?
What do you reckon?
Yeah. I'm gonna knuckle down and answer that after the show and see exactly what they mean. We've had a kiss from Tracy Ferguson as well.
Fantastic.
Who else? We said Telcare. We said Lisa Settle.
Yeah, but there is a tweet from DC Weddings with an offer they're making. I'm just trying to find it.
Oh, I want to know about that. I'll read something while you look.
Yeah, you do that. Oh, here, and no, I found it. Diamond Circle Weddings. Hello, Business Bunker. Could we please ask your audience if they know a key worker?
We all do.
Yep. They have shown care and compassion. They've shown care and compassion during the pandemic, for which we are all thankful. Diamond Circle Weddings are offering a discount to all key workers. If you click on the link, and the link is... Well, I'll tell you what, it's easier to follow Diamond Circle Weddings. DC Weddings UK is their Twitter handle. You can find the link there and find out what their discount offer is for you if you are a key worker.
And Tracy Ann Barker at Taba Official, so that's T-A-B-A underscore official. It might be Tabor. I'm never really sure. I think it's Tabor.
It depends
how posh you are.
It's
really.
Tracy Ann Barker Associates is what it stands for.
Exactly. Yeah. I knew that.
Taba.
So she says, hello, Vanilla Wedding, Jules Serkin, using the hashtag BBunker, very diligent. Another day I have to listen on catch up. Great guests and conversations over the last few weeks. Have a great show today. That's lovely.
We've had a tweet from the lovely Kim Stevens, Care in Kent. I'd love a shout out on the Business Bunker for all the Care in Kent home care workers in Ashford and Folkestone. Thank you to our care team, Care in Kent team, for their exceptional role in caring for the vulnerable despite all of the current risks. Thank you for your dedication and hard work. And that's from Kim. And we echo that thoroughly and totally and with great heartfelt delight to say a huge well done to the Karen Kent homework team.
And Ibiza Fitness Food say hello, Vanilla Web and BBunker hashtag. And we're delivering throughout the UK food cooked from scratch, healthy meals. They just delivered some to my mum because she's broken her wrist. And she got some shepherd's pies and some Thai chicken and all.
Oh, I like a shepherd's pie.
Oh, don't we? Don't we all? And the Thai chicken is delicious too. And they did gnocchi. I never really know how to say it. Gnocchi.
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 How do you say?
Do you mean Italian potato dumplings?
Yeah.
Gnocchi.
They are nice.
Gnocchi.
Isn't it gnocchi?
No, it's gnocchi.
Oh, arrivederci.
Gnocchi.
Of course, that sort of makes sense.
That's my authentic Cockney Italian accent.
Yeah,
gnocchi.
You sound good. Very. I thought I was actually in Rome then. Rebecca Nuts, Serenity Becker, has beautiful beauty salons or therapist places in Swalecliff, Whitstable and Faversham. She says... we wonder whether, you know, we're desperate to... She's waiting for Boris, basically, to open.
Yep.
So you can go to the pub, but you can't have a pedicure.
Yep.
What do you think? It seems a bit mad to me. Because you can have two drinks in a pub, aren't you? And then you start hugging everyone. That's what I would do. Two drinks and I'd be going, hello! <You know. laughs>
Which is probably why I avoid pubs. I don't understand now. I mean, people have been out on the streets for 6 weeks now in demonstrations, rioting at the
doing
beach.
The Congo.
There was one, Congo.
Do you mean the Congo? Oh, yeah.
Doing the Congo. Well, we've invaded an African country, have we?
I've okay. been to Africa too much. It's just in my brain. Doing the Zimbabwe.
Yeah, and the VE celebrations. You know, people have been out and about. Yeah. There has been some spikes, though. You know, I read a report this morning that one of the pubs that were open in London, there's been 3 confirmed cases from there.
But well, East Kent has had quite a high spike. I think we were the top 10% in the UK, which worried me a bit. And Southend-on-Sea.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
then along with the sort of Bradford and the Leeds and the Leicesters.
Yeah.
Shall I read something else?
No.
All right, then.
Because we're going to join the newsroom in a minute,
okay.
And I've just got a tweet I want to read, and then we're going to join the Channel Radio newsroom.
Wait.
Yeah. Romney Resource Centre, Business Bunker. Hi, Paul. We hope you have a great show today. We're offering virtual computers from scratch lessons with a patient fun tutor, fully funded to all adults with no upper age limit. So this is a free introduction to computing computing for dummies, basically. If it's a starter course, totally free. Contact by email, if you can use it, reception@romney-resource.co.uk to book your place, or follow them on the Twitter, Romney Resource. What a fantastic thing.
Do you know what? I've got this amazing state-of-the-art Mac. I've had a Mac since, oh, I don't know, 100 years, since the first little white MacBook came out. And I still don't really know all its gizmos and gadgets and things that you can do with it.
Absolutely. Do you know?
No.
It's International Mac Day today.
Is it?
Macaroni.
Oh, not for rain.
No, it's International Chocolate Day and International Macaroni Day.
I love macaroni. I mean,
but macaroni and chocolate, no.
No, no, but macaroni cheese.
Yeah, it's lovely.
Are you going to have that?
I don't know.
Tonight?
Well, as it's International Chocolate Day as well, I think there's more chance of getting chocolate than macaroni
cheese.
I've got chicken
livers tonight. Deviled chicken livers.
Have you?
Already prepped, of course. What's going on in the newsroom, I wonder?
I don't know. We're going to cross in the newsroom shortly. I was just going to try and read one more tweet before we do that. Ken Heron has said hello.
Yeah, from Florida.
All the way from Florida. So, hello, Ken.
They have quite bad COVID there in Spice.
Yeah,
of course,
absolutely.
Because it's a holiday destination.
Yep. And the lovely Lisa Settle has also said hello. Have a fab show today on the Business Bunker. Thank you, Lisa.
She's settling down nicely in her office.
Yeah, yeah.
Now we're out of lockdown.
And also, Telcare. Here we go, Business Bunker time. Vanilla Web and Jill Serkin. Info and discussion on the whole of Kent business. So, yeah, absolutely. Thank you for that. Telcare, a telecoms company based on the Medway City Estate in Rochester. So do give them a follow. Telcare LTD is their Twitter handle. Right, I think that safely takes us up to the newsroom. What do you reckon? We're going to join the Channel Radio newsroom. And then when we come back, we've got another fantastic guest to talk to. In fact, we've got two guests to talk to in the second half.
Charged Up World, and we've got Richard Archer, who's in Dover, Buckland Media.
Yep. So we'll be talking to them in the second half of the show.
Can't wait.
In the meantime, let's join the newsroom.
This is Channel 2. The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.